Hello, everyone, and welcome into the Go 24/7 podcast. My name is Glenn West, your senior writer here at the site. We are officially 1 week away from LSU returning to the practice field for spring practice. It'll be the first spring ball of the Lane Kiffin era. So, of course, there's going to be a lot of genuine excitement around the first time getting to see this new team, getting to see all these new faces, all of these new players. And so we just kind of wanted to hop on here and just kind of break down some of the roster components here over the next couple of pods. I'm going to break this kind of up into two segments here, focus on the offense today and then maybe the defense a little later in the week here. But we definitely want to try to get back into a normal routine now that spring ball is back, that of getting back to our regularly scheduled programming, I guess you could call it. And so we'll have a couple pods this week, and certainly as we go forward here in spring practice, just kind of giving you guys my thoughts on how spring ball is going, some of the latest updates from Kiffin and from players. And we'll get an opportunity to talk to all those good people here over the coming month. But, you know, before we get into it today, just wanted to ask you guys, if you're watching on YouTube, please hit the like and subscribe button. Please give us a follow over there. If you're listening to us on Spotify or on Apple, please leave us a like and a review over there as well. Give us some comments. That always helps us out as we try to grow this network out and reach the most fans as possible. So with all that being said, just wanted to, again, talk a little bit about this LSU offense. Obviously, a really – you know, a big change of players here in terms of not only schematic, but also just the level of talent that LSU has brought in this offseason has been immense. Lane Kiffin, really first couple days on the job, got right to work. You talk about going back to the December signing period here where he was able to flip a couple guys offensively. In the freshman class, wide receiver Corey Barber, tight end J.C. Anderson, offensive lineman Ryan Murray. That was kind of the first, you know, infusion of new talent that I guess you saw from a Kiffin perspective translate over from Ole Miss to LSU, and that was kind of the big bullet point, big first box that he wanted to check was getting that signing class all delivered there in December, and they did a nice job of doing that. They've since added a few more guys in the February window, a couple JUCO players, a couple of defensive players in the February signing period. But offensively, at least, you know, you started off hot there with the freshman signing class. And, of course, propels you into this transfer portal cycle. LSU just did a remarkable job. You know, when you talk about bringing in, rebuilding a new, basically rebuilding this quarterback room from scratch, you bring in three new players there, highlighted by, of course, Sam Levitt, the number one player in the transfer portal, and then Husan Longstreet, who's also a top 10 transfer portal quarterback from this last year's class. You brought in four new running backs. You brought in nine new transfer wide receivers. You brought in a couple new transfer tight ends. You brought in nearly double-digit offensive linemen between the freshman and the transfer portal signing class as well. So this is a major, major overhaul offensively that LSU has kind of undertaken here with Kiffin here in year one. And, you know, I think naturally one of the big questions that you have to ask is, okay, how long is it going to take for a lot of these pieces to kind of cohesively gel and kind of get on the right page, learn the system, learn the pace of play? You know, this is a style of offense that Kiffin and Charlie Weiss Jr. are bringing here that, you know, quite frankly, a lot of these guys are not accustomed to playing in terms of the tempo and in terms of the pace and how many plays they like to get in throughout the course of a game. And, you know, there's certainly a creativity element to it as well that, you know, an impromptu element that, you know, you want to have as a player that's going to make you and the only way to really kind of really adopt this offense is and to play freely is to learn the ins and outs here. And I think that's going to be a part of this spring. You know, spring ball is certainly about fundamentals. It's certainly about technique. But I think this year in particular is going to be a little bit different for LSU from an offensive perspective because there are so many new players to this offense and so many guys that are going to be brought in to kind of, you know, retool this thing in a very quick fashion that just aren't familiar with it. And so I think, you know, the installation period is going to be really important this spring. You know, you don't have to do all the ins and outs of the offense, you know, the micro levels of what you want. That can be kind of pushed, I guess, later to fall. But the macro and the overall idea of the offense, I think, is what LSU will try to start implementing here this spring. And I think it's important to do that as soon as possible here in the offseason with so many new pieces that you're working in. So we'll kind of break it down position by position. If you followed us over at our site at Go247, we've been writing these kind of position previews over the last couple of weeks. We've been kind of spreading them out here in the lead up to spring ball. And, so just wanted to kind of highlight some of my thoughts on, you know, where each position on offense ranks or not ranks, but just where they stand kind of heading into spring ball. And I guess, you know, there's no better start than to start with the quarterback. That's the most important position on the field. And, LSU was really aggressive in terms of finding their next pieces on that side of the ball and in that position. And, you know, it starts obviously with Sam Levitt, the Arizona State transfer, who will be coming off of a Lisfranc injury this offseason. He's, you know, if you've watched some of the videos that LSU has produced here over the last several weeks as LSU's been going through workouts, you've seen Levitt on the, you know, the exercise bike. You've seen him, you know, trying to push himself, I guess, as he's in the, you know, the healing and the recovery stages now of that injury that he suffered at Arizona State that required surgery. You know, these we've talked about it before, but these Lisfranc injuries can be tricky. And so just figuring out what exactly, you know, that timeline looked like for him was going to be extremely important for LSU. And it sounds like LSU expects him to at least participate in some capacity this spring. You know, he's going to be doing some throwing according to Lane Kiffin. He's going to be doing some 7-on-7 work, which is really, really cool to hear. You know, he's somebody that, you know, obviously has got to start learning the chemistry and start learning the ins and outs with these receivers as soon as possible. And, you know, being able to go through some of those 7-on-7 stuff and, you know, working on the timing with those receivers, I think is going to be really invaluable reps that I don't know that many expected him to get before we had kind of talked with Kiffin about a month ago now. You know, kind of recapping the offseason. So Sam Levitt will participate in some capacity. You will not do the full 11-on-11 contact stuff. And, you know, not that the quarterbacks are ever going to be close to touched in spring ball, but it's good to see that he'll be out there doing at least a little bit of stuff for a little bit of work for LSU in the spring. So that leaves Husan Longstreet, the transfer from USC, the redshirt freshman quarterback that they brought in, and Landon Clark, the transfer from Elon, as the two guys that are going to kind of have to orchestrate this offense here over the next several weeks. And, you know, this is a great opportunity for those two guys. These are young players, guys that have multiple years of eligibility beyond 2026. So, you know, the one thing that we know about Kiffin and this offense, and you can go back to as recently as last year, is that the best player is going to play at that position. And this is a really great opportunity for Longstreet and for Clark to get those first team reps here in the spring that if Sam Levitt were healthy, they probably wouldn't have gotten in this spring. So, you know, those two guys are going to have, you know, complete control here of the offense for the next 4 weeks. You know, I think from a Longstreet perspective, he's maybe that guy that is a former five-star quarterback from last year's class, a guy who just wrapped up his true freshman season learning under Lincoln Riley, who's quite a good quarterback's whisperer. And now he's going to Lane Kiffin here with his scheme and his up-tempo pace and the athleticism that Longstreet has. It's just on paper, a marriage that you think would work really, really well. And so I think for me personally, I'm going to be looking very closely at Longstreet this spring, just seeing kind of how he's developed here as a second year player, how quickly he's picking the offense up, and just, you know, how well he moves in this offense. You know, this is a very rhythmic offense. This is a offense that caters to quarterback play and to being able to not only throw the football and make quick decisions, but also run it with your legs. And Longstreet is certainly capable of doing all of those things. And so how he kind of gets involved with this offense from the get-go, I'm going to be very, very interested to see, because the one thing I will say is, like, these two quarterbacks, when you have so many other positions and so many other players that are trying to work themselves into learning this offense and learning how to run it, you'd really like to have some stability at quarterback and some consistency in play at quarterback to kind of be the head, be at the head of the table of all this. And so Longstreet and Clark's play, I think, is going to be really fascinating to watch in terms of how it affects other players on the offense and how quickly they can pick things up. So I'll be very curious to see how those two play. Clark is a guy, you've seen him here in recent weeks getting in some extra work. LSU was just on spring break. Clark didn't go very far. I think he was working with his quarterback trainer and over the spring break. And he obviously is somebody that also understands the opportunity that's out in front of him for spring. And you've seen there have been several videos that he's posted here over the last week as he's getting in more and more reps on the field now in preparation of next week's spring ball kicking off. So those two are going to be vitally important for LSU this spring in terms of just getting the offense on track and playing with a level of consistency that hopefully helps elevate everybody else in this offense. And so that's why I think the quarterback room this spring is going to be really, really important. And, just kind of moving on to the running back room here, I think, look, you've got two returning pieces in Harlan Berry and Caden Durham that are going to lead that room, I think, to start. Harlan Berry in particular is a five-star sophomore now, but last year in an offense that was really not catered towards any kind of consistency and success on the field, Harlan was able to show that he was the most explosive back in this room, that he was certainly the one that has, I think, the greatest potential to thrive in this new system and in this new offense that Lane Kiffin's bringing in. And that's why they worked really hard when Kiffin first arrived and when Kevin Smith Jr. First arrived to Baton Rouge after during Ole Miss's playoff run, but in that window there of Kiffin first being hired, one of the first conversations, one of the first meetings those two guys had was with Harlan Berry and kind of what his future looked like in this offense. And they made a compelling pitch, and Harlan decided to stick it out and not enter the transfer portal. And I think he's going to be a guy that has the potential to really break out in the SEC this year because of that decision. He's this is a, for an offense that is as explosive and as high tempo as this one is, it's also a very balanced offense, especially when you find the right the right running back. And you saw it this last year with Kewon Lacy. They were not afraid at Ole Miss to really unleash him and have him be the main source of rushing for that Rebels offense last year. I'm not sure that you'll get the same level of bulk of carries for Berry as you saw Lacy last year have for Ole Miss, but I do think that he'll be the featured back as we sit here in spring, ahead of spring ball. And this is going to be a very important offseason for him in terms of jumping from year one to year two and just kind of what the progression of his body looks like. He's been posting pictures on social media as well of kind of the attention that he's adding muscle to his body to be able to handle a greater workload while also not losing that speed and that athleticism and agility that's made him such a really dynamic player throughout his career. So it'll be very important for him to have a good spring. Caden Durham's another one, a guy that LSU talked out of the portal, was in the portal there for about a week or two. LSU was able to convince to come back. He was, ranked in 24/7 Sports as a top 10 transfer portal running back. So you get that player back in here. The big thing with Durham here is going to be health. Like, that's always been the big thing with him, is just, can he stay healthy for 13 games and hopefully into a postseason run as well for this team. He had those toe injuries there as a freshman. He had an ankle sprain last year as a sophomore. The offense in itself last year was just not conducive to much success for anybody from top to bottom. And Durham's efficiency certainly dropped last year as a result of that. He came in with such high expectations last year for himself, and certainly LSU did as well. you know, was a rough second year for him. I mean, there's just no other way to put it, as it was for the entire offense. And so it's going to be really important for Durham to kind of, you know, bounce back this spring and start showing that player that was, you know, highly explosive in that South Carolina game as a true freshman. That will be always a game to remember as far as his career is concerned. So it's in there. And I think this offense, again, is one that's going to be able to, you know, pull that out of him a little bit more consistently here. And so I do think that the Barry Durham 1-2 punch is going to be kind of right at the center of this thing for LSU in the spring. Certainly you're going to work in Dylan Jones, who I think is probably one of the more intriguing pieces in this offense that LSU's brought in via the portal, the running back from Wisconsin. He's got a little bit of a different running style, I think, than Barry and Durham. He's maybe a little bit more downhill, a little bit more elusive and center of gravity is maybe a little bit smaller, to where he can bounce off of tackles and get, you know, good hard yards for LSU as a complimentary back for them. You brought in several other young pieces that I think are going to continue to develop, whether it's Rodney Ganey. You've got Racine Guillory that they brought in, who's going to be a second year player, and then Stacey Gage is another guy they brought in from UCF. So there's some depth on this room. I think there's a little bit of unknown right now with those, you know, with back half of this room, but you know, really those top three, I think, are the ones that figure to handle the bulk of the, at least the first team reps. And then, you know, you see kind of how these other guys develop and how they can maybe be worked in as the season goes along and as the off season goes along. That's again, what springtime is for, you know, it's to kind of develop these guys and see kind of where, you know, maybe their roles could look like going into the summer. Yeah, you know, I think it's a really big offseason for this running backs room in particular, because you know you have to have that balance in this offense and in this system to really get the most out of it. And I think LSU feels pretty good about what they have in that room to be able to do that. So you move on to the wide receiver room. This is again another position group that was practically rebuilt from the studs. LSU brought in 12 new players out of 13. You know, they brought in three freshmen, as we mentioned earlier. Corey Barber, Jabari Mack, Braden Allen were three guys that signed with LSU back in December. And then they went and they added, I believe it was nine transfers. They added nine transfers over the course of about 2 weeks, 3 weeks there. They got right to work when the transfer portal opened, when they started attacking the wide receiver rooms pretty heavily. The very first commit was Jackson Harris out of Hawaii, was a wide receiver, and then they pretty much just continued to hit that room pretty hard over the next couple of weeks. And so redshirt freshman Phillip Wright is the only returning piece from this wide receiver room a year ago. Lane Kiffin's going to bring in his guys that think that he thinks can run their system and be valuable pieces in the vertical passing game, and also be, you know, guys that can get out of their breaks quickly so those quarterbacks can make those quick decisions and get them the ball quickly. And I think LSU has found a nice balance of that. I think there's probably a group of about five of these receivers, particularly the transfers, that I kind of think might have the first opportunities to be, to earn those starting roles or to earn those, significant roles within this offense. I think Jace Brown from Kansas State is one that LSU's really excited for and got and was able to pull the trigger on and get in this last transfer portal window. He's a guy that averaged, I believe, around 17, 18 yards a reception last year. Good vertical threat, but also is a great route runner and can do a lot of different things, I think, on the outside for LSU. So they're really excited about him. I think Eugene Wilson from Florida is a guy whose maybe production has kind of, you know, slowly gotten a little bit worse over his first couple of years in the SEC at Florida, but I think injuries have had a lot to do with that as well. Just hasn't been able to stay healthy the last couple of seasons, but is a very interesting piece. I think as a former high four-star or five-star player on 24/7 Sports and a very explosive receiver when he gets the ball in his hands, he's very good after the catch. Somebody that I think LSU thinks can work in the slot and be maybe a little bit more of a versatile piece for them offensively. And so I'll be excited to see how they utilize him. Trey Brown is another receiver out of Old Dominion that they got. He and Jackson Harris were actually both in the top 10 of wide receivers last year in yards per catch. I believe Harris was around 19 and Trey Brown was around 20 yards per catch last year. And those are going to be two guys that I think LSU really leans into from a vertical perspective in this offense. And so, those are kind of just a few of the guys there. Those are four. And then the one player that has the most experience in this offense and has the most knowledge of this offense from a wide receiver perspective is Winston Watkins, who LSU brought in from Ole Miss. He's a true freshman last year, about 6'1", 6'2", has really good hands, can move very quickly. He was more probably a complimentary piece in the Ole Miss offense last year, but the size and the prototype there of him developing in year two of this system, I think, is really intriguing to watch. And I think he's somebody that could be a big X factor in this offense. Let's put it that way. Like, he's going to already be very familiar with the offense when they get rolling here next week. I think he's going to have a great opportunity to earn a major, major role in this offense. And I'm excited to see him. He put up about close to 400 yards in his true freshman year at wide receiver in the SEC. And then obviously into the playoff as well. He has some playoff experience now under his belt. So he's going to be somebody to really, I think, watch pretty heavily here in the wide receiver room. And again, this is a room that you needed to rebuild a lot. So you brought in a lot of guys that I think have very different backgrounds, a lot of smaller school players. Tyree Holloway is one that's interesting. Malik Elzey is a kind of an older veteran they brought in as well. Josh Jackson, I think, is a guy they got from McNeese. So he's kind of a redshirt sophomore. He's a third year player. So there's a lot of redshirt juniors and a lot of seniors on this wide receiver core. And so I do think that this is going to be a position here where LSU wants experience. They want guys who have done it in college before. They feel like they've got a nice mix there of those kinds of players that are going to be able to instantly impact the passing game here. And should help, some younger quarterbacks like Landon Clark and Husan Longstreet have really good springs and get their confidence up in this offense with the right kind of development. So I think that's a really important room to follow here, because I don't think much is settled. There will be tons and tons of competition at wide receiver here over the next month, and that'll be very exciting to watch. We move over to the tight end room, where I don't think there will be a ton of competition for Tre'Dez Green in terms of guys challenging him for major snaps, because I do think, for all we just talked about with the wide receivers, I do think that Tre'Dez has a chance to be the most targeted player on this roster in this offense from a passing perspective. He's just a matchup nightmare. LSU worked very hard to keep him over this past offseason and into January to keep him on the roster. He's going to be entering now his third year at 6'7", 245 pounds, or whatever it is that he is right now. He is going to be an absolute nightmare for defenses, and I think a really very fun piece to watch in terms of how Kiffin utilizes him. I think he's somebody that can certainly line up at wide receiver for you. He can line up in the slot. He's somebody that in the red zone should get all the volume and attention that he can possibly get from a receiving perspective. And so I think at minimum you're looking at a 10 touchdown kind of guy, a guy that can bring in 45, 50 passes and maybe 700, 800 yards, really kind of take that next step as one of the elite players in this conference. And he's in the right offense to be able to highlight him. And so I think he's going to be somebody tight end that they're going to be, it's going to be on the field for 95% of snaps. Like, he's going to be out there a lot. And, you know, those other 5%, I think, are going to be times where LSU maybe has to, you know, punch it in on fourth and one, or punch it in on, you know, a goal line situation or something, you know. And even then, you know, even then, he's somebody that I think you can work in to those kinds of plays and in that kind of offense and stuff. So, you know, Trey is going to be hugely important. I think he's probably your most talented player offensively, and somebody that I think LSU is going to be able to really work in quite a lot with this offense. And that's going to have to start this spring, obviously. But, you know, behind him, I think it's going to be really interesting. You know, they have a couple guys that they brought in. You know, Malachi Thomas from Pitt is more of an experienced player. You know, doesn't have a ton of you know, receptions or yards under his belt throughout his career, but is somebody that I think, you know, is a little bit bigger, can move his weight a little bit more as an inline blocker, and be somebody that I think LSU can lean on from a tight end perspective as maybe that number two next to Trey Dez. Because, you know, what we do know about this Kiffin system is that they do like to utilize the tight end room, and they do like to play multiple tight ends throughout the course of a game, and sometimes on the field at the same time. And I think Thomas is maybe the guy right now that makes the most sense. It could see that role for him. I think Zach Grace is another interesting name to know. He spent his first couple of years at Oregon, and they have him listed as a tight end. He's been more of a fullback, you know, kind of a guy that lines up behind the quarterback and can, you know, maybe be an extra blocker ahead of the running back to open up a lane or something. He's a very physical blocker, a guy that, you know, I think maybe part of the pitch to get him here was like, we'll expand your role a little bit more here and maybe get you involved in the tight end room a little bit more throughout the course of the offseason. But his main goal, Zach Grace's goal, is going to be to just go find a defensive player and just go beat him up, you know, just go hit him hard, open up a lane for a running back, get, you know, pressure off of the quarterback. He's going to be somebody that I think has a very specific role for LSU, and I think one that we haven't really seen in recent years in this offense, which is going to be really interesting to see kind of how they design plays with him on the field. It's going to be really intriguing to watch. And then you've got a couple younger players. JD LaFleur is a second-year guy now in the program. Didn't play a ton last year. I think he was battling some injuries in the offseason. And so how does he develop? And then, you know, the freshman JC Anderson is a four-star guy, player that I think LSU is very excited about the future for. But can he really carve out a huge role here, you know, in his first year? I don't know. I think there's going to be some opportunities there, but it does feel like this is going to be a trade as green and then maybe Malachi Thomas / Zach Grace kind of room, at least to start the spring. And like, I think, you know, those things can certainly evolve, and, you know, more guys can carve out opportunities for them for how they play over the next month. And I think that's a big part of why you have this month of football here, is to learn a little bit more about your team and a little bit more about the personnel and just how you can structure maybe those players in this offense. So that brings us to probably the most important position room in terms of just you know, bodies and kind of unknowns, and certainly competition. Like, I think, you know, we mentioned the wide receiver room being one of the most competitive rooms. I absolutely think this offensive line is probably going to be the most competitive offensively as we go into spring here. You know, they have a handful of returning players. Of course, Braylon Moore was a guy they worked very, very hard to keep into the program this past offseason. He's going to be somebody that I think you see start at center, you know, right away for LSU. They really worked hard to make sure that he was back on the roster and didn't go to the NFL draft. And I think that that part of that pitch was that, you know, you're going to be a part of an elite offense here, and you're going to be kind of the front line of defense there for this offense, and be kind of the headmaster, the control center for the offensive line. And I think that was a very appealing pitch for Moore, and he'll be back at center. You know, Weston Davis is a guy who is, I know, probably a bit controversial within the LSU fan base right now because of the way that he played as last year. But he's somebody that the staff has a lot of confidence in. He's a guy that the last staff had a lot of confidence in. And I think that, you know, it was really important to see that when he entered the transfer portal, LSU was very quick, and it's decision-making and like, no, we want you back. We want you back. And, you know, they were able to convince him to get out of the portal and come back. And he's going to be very much involved in that spot at right tackle. You know, Solomon Thomas is a redshirt freshman that was a former five-star, didn't play at all last year as he was kind of dealing with a bit of a leg injury. And so he didn't play. But what this really comes down to for me is just finding some stability on the interior, because I do think that they feel good about center with Braylon Moore. You worked really, really hard to bring in Jordan Seaton from Colorado, the number one offensive lineman in the portal, one of the top pass blocking offensive linemen of the last couple of years, from a grades perspective. He's going to be handling your left tackle spot. And so that really leaves left guard, and right tackle as probably the three spots here that are the most up for grabs as we enter this spring window. And this is going to be competition that goes well into fall camp. Like, don't get it twisted. This is not going to be something that's decided here in spring. But I think what a lot of these players can do is kind of give that first impression and show that coaching staff the first impression, because, you know, Eric Welford, who they brought in to be the new O-line coach, James Craig, who obviously has some experiences being here at LSU. You know, those guys are not going to have any preconceived notions about who should start and kind of what the outline will look like. I think a lot of this will dictate itself here over the next several months. And so there are a lot of interesting players to consider in that respect. I think at tackle, I mentioned Weston Davis at right tackle is probably going to be a guy that gets a lot of run there. Sean Tompkins, the junior that they brought out of Baylor, is a guy who has some experience starting at right tackle. I think he started in 5 games last year. He'll certainly be considered at that right tackle spot. I think Devin Harper, the transfer they brought in from Ole Miss, a second-year player, is going to be rotated, you know, throughout the guard spots and then also at right tackle as well. I have a hard time believing that Devin Harper won't win one of these jobs, one of these three open jobs. I think the former staff, or I should say the former Ole Miss and now current LSU offensive staff, was very high on Devin Harper last year as a freshman. I think he appeared in 6 or 7 games for Ole Miss last year, and they feel like he's going to take another big step here. And so I think, you know, whether it's at left guard, or right tackle, I think Harper is somebody that finds his way into this lineup somewhere. But, you know, he'll get run at guard and at tackle. And then Darren Stray is another tackle that they brought in from Kentucky, a redshirt freshman. He's going to follow his position coach, Eric Welford, over from Kentucky. He'll also get a lot of reps over at right tackle as well. And then on the inside at guard, you know, you're going to have Alu Ba, who is a multi-year starter now from Maryland. Started his career in the SEC, went to Maryland for a few years, and has started at right guard for 23 games throughout his career. He's somebody that I think LSU, you know, you could certainly see LSU start at right guard to begin spring, but of course there's going to be a lot of guys that they're going to rotate in, whether it's Harper, William Satterwhite from Tennessee. It's, you know, kind of a backup. He has been a backup center throughout most of his career. Maybe they slide him over to guard and give him an opportunity as well. I think, you know, Jaquan Sprinkle is an interesting name to talk about here. I think he's a JUCO guy that they brought in over this last portal cycle. Jamar Jones, Jacoby Jones, these are all kind of younger players that maybe don't have a ton of experience yet, but you know, at this level. But, you know, Jacoby Jones, for example, was another JUCO guy that they brought in, and I think is somebody that was, you know, being recruited by several other high-profile SEC teams, and LSU feels like he can come in and compete for playing time as well. So there's, you know, like there's, you know, eight or nine transfers that they brought in. They brought in two freshmen and Bryson Martinez and Ryan Murray. You know, Martinez is a guy that's a top 100 freshman in this class, somebody that I think can compete for time over at tackle, while Murray is maybe more of your interior lineman kind of a guy, maybe you can rotate in as a backup center or as a backup guard to start the spring. But, you know, all those guys are going to get playing time and going to get looks throughout the course of the next month with this offense. And so it's going to be a lot of competition there. Like, that's going to be the one position room that I think you look at and it's like, the starting five that is out there for, you know, 11 on 11s or for individual drills or whatever it is on day one could look vastly different than, you know, day three and day five and day, you know, eight or nine of spring ball. Like, there's going to be a lot of rotating in and out there on the offensive line, which is good because I think they have a lot of options here, a lot of guys that have some talent and potential, and it'll be very interesting to see kind of how they work through all that. So, you know, those are just kind of my position breakdowns here. You can go, you know, read about a lot of those over the last couple weeks that I've been read, that we've been pushing out. But, you know, that's pretty much all we got on the offense here. Like, I think this is going to be a very important off season, you know, spring ball for this offense. I think they have a lot of talent, a lot of guys that are going to get a lot of reps and a lot of opportunities here to start making some of those good first impressions with the coaching staff. But again, like, I don't think that this is going to be something where, you know, at the end of spring, we're writing, you know, about, this guy has definitely solidified this spot. I think we can certainly have our projections and our predictions on how all that works out, but LSU is going to keep a lot of these competitions open through the summer and into the fall. And that's the way you should do it. Like, that's especially with so many new players here, you're going to have a couple that arrive in the summer. And, you know, I think that's just, it's really important to not, you know, pigeonhole yourself into one decision or something this early into the offseason. And I think this coaching staff understands that and knows that. And it's just going to be a great opportunity to get a chance to finally see this team on the football field and on and in practice and, you know, just starting to work on some of the ins and outs of how this offense is going to work. Because I do think come fall, you're going to see a very productive offense. Like, I've had a lot of conversation with guys in the media and other people about this. Like, I don't have a ton of worry right now about the offense because of just the past history of success that is following Lane Kiffin here. And so I think this is going to be a really interesting offseason, one that's going to be fun to watch, particularly from an offensive perspective. And we'll make sure to have all the updates for you guys here as we kind of move through this offseason. So thank you guys so much for listening. And if you've made it this far, appreciate it. And we'll talk to you a little bit later this week about the defense. But for now, I'm Glenn West, and thanks for watching and listening to Go 24/7 podcast.